Episode number 245, Camaro Show and Shine Tips.
Coming to you almost live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of the Camaro C28.com podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Jason.
And here we are again for another episode. Yeah, not much Camaro news this week, so we're going to try and, I guess, do a subject here that maybe can help our listeners
out. Near and dear to my heart, too.
Absolutely. And that's on, like, car show, like, show and shine tips.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how to get your car ready for a show and the procedures we go through.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get the cars done and washed and little tricks you showed me on what to do if you don't have a vacuum cleaner and stuff like that at a car event, and how to get your wheels nice and
that's my secret.
Shiny.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the car show aspect.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't get the point of a car show. And as we say, and we probably said before, it's really not about the cars. It's about getting together with people that, you know, you have the similar interest in. Oh, yeah, the focus is the cars, but the point is not. We have friends, Chris, you and I, that we really only see at car shows because that's the only time we get to, you know, people from other states, other countries, you know, Canada and whatnot. It's even if you just want to clean up your car, it's a good excuse just to clean up your car.
Yeah.
You know, even if you don't have a show worthy car, it doesn't have to be custom. It doesn't have to be a race car. It doesn't have to be anything. It could be just a nice car. And everybody thinks their Camaro is nice for the most part. So, having said that, get out and attend a car show. It's extremely fun if you haven't done it before, and you get to meet a lot of cool people, man. People that you'd never met before come up and ask you questions about your car.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, you start seeing the same people check out your car every year. Yeah. So,
it's fun.
Last podcast, we talked about some shows coming up.
Right.
So, that's going to lead us into this.
Yeah.
So, I guess the start is getting it clean. You can't detail a car without it being very clean to begin with.
Right.
What is your procedure?
Well, if I'm gonna be putting on another coat of polish, or you know, I kind of want to start from scratch because you and I both use Zeno Show car polish.
Yeah, for the most part.
Zale is just an incredible source of information, because he's a car painter by trade, right?
Right.
So he always told us to wash our car first with Dawn.
Yes.
Dawn
dishwashing liquid.
Because the alkalines, I guess, in the soap actually clear off any old polish, or if you use Carnauba wax or anything like that, it kind of strips it off the car, and you're kind of starting with a clean base to begin with.
It strips all the old polish wax junk off it. Because otherwise, I used to wash my car when I was a kid. I used to wash my car with dishwashing soap. I'm like, hey, soap is soap, whatever.
I used to do the same thing.
And look like crap afterwards. And I'm like,
it's squeaky clean.
Yeah, squeaky clean and looks like, you know, matte instead of gloss.
I know. And then you introduced me to a process that I had no idea about way back in the day.
Which one?
That was the clay bar process.
Oh, yeah.
Because you brought over, when we would go to the industry office, you bring over, what was it, just clay bar?
It was Clay Magic.
Clay Magic.
I think that was the first company that marketed that. And that made such a huge difference, is clay in your car.
Remember how bad the clay was when I was done with it?
Oh, my God. It was a blue clay bar, and by the end of it, it looked like one of those brown-scented soap bars, man. It was just crap. And that's after we washed the crap out of your car.
I know.
So the clay is kind of like, almost like a, if you never used it, it's kind of like a like a snow plow for crap. It just scrapes it clean off the car, but it doesn't damage the paint. It just kind of
gets off any of the dirt, the road dirt, debris, tar.
Yeah. Most cars are delivered by rail today.
Yeah.
And think about all the, it's called rail dust.
Yeah.
It's it comes off the train system and the railroad tracks and all the metal hitting each other, and little itty-bitty microscopic fragments of steel gets embedded in your paint. And you can't see them with the naked eye at first. But when it's like a little arrow that sticks in your paint. And after a while, it'll start, of course, to rust because it's bare metal.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it takes your paint surface with it. So this will get rid of a lot of that for the most part. So if you got a new car, which a lot of our listeners do, first thing you want to do is clay the stuff out of that car.
And if you live in an area where you have a lot of hard water, it leaves those deposits too on the car, and the clay will take those right off as well.
I've had clay take off even very, very faint scuffs. Or when somebody, if there's overspray or there's...
bird crap.
Tree sap especially.
Oh, yeah.
Tree sap is really bad for your car too. So that's getting it clean.
And that process usually takes a while depending on how bad the car is. And then you showed me using like a little plastic baggie just to you can tell the difference between the surface, just the way it feels.
Get some thin Saran wrap and just wrap a single layer around your fingertip, and then feel your paint before and after you clay it. And it's just like going from sandpaper to glass.
Yeah, makes a huge difference.
Claying is extremely important, and you can
and
get it.
It could be a tedious process as well.
Yeah, and you have to follow the instructions right, and the elements have to be right, because if you do it on too hot of a day, the clay will kind of melt to the surface, and then it causes more work for you.
Found that out. Yeah. I still have some in some of my stripes.
Claying is I think claying is a critical step that a lot of people don't do, because it's not difficult, but it just takes some time.
It's another step.
You know, I mean, you have to cover every inch of the car with your four fingertips is really how it comes down to. You can get the clay from Zano Brothers, who's our supplier of choice, but you can also get it from, you know, Meguiar's now has it, and everybody really has it. Yep. My buddy Stevie, he's got a professional detailing business, and he gets some stuff that I've never even heard of, but it's three different levels, almost like sandpaper. There's different grit, and he gave me a bunch of it. I'm going to try it out.
Oh, okay.
But it looks a lot like Sal's.
Oh, okay.
So I think the quality is close.
Okay.
You know, what I do for washing my car is sometimes if it's really bad, I go to the quarter car wash, and then I hand wash it.
To get off, you know, to be able to use the high-powered spray on the car and get off. I'll do the same thing.
Because you don't want to wash your car with dirty water. That just doesn't make any sense. and that's part of keeping paint clean, is making sure that there are zero contaminants on whatever you're cleaning it with. But since my car is pretty clean, I actually use the Mr. Clean Auto Dry system.
Yep, I love it.
I thought it was a gimmick, man. But even their soap that they use, it makes a difference.
Yeah.
But I combine that with the Zano Brothers car soap, which
car show
do
soap.
Not use too much of that.
Nope, a little cap full and a whole bucket.
Yep.
That's all you need.
So what I do is I hose down with the Mr. Clean soap, and then I hand wash with a microfiber, a very high quality microfiber sponge type dealy. Mm-hmm. With the Zano soap. It's like the 1-2 punch, man.
Yeah, that's what I do too.
That works really, really well. And then drying off, use an absorber, make sure it's clean. If you drop it, it's done. Throw it away.
Yeah, what's nice about using the Mr. Clean Car Care thing is that it's got that spot-free rinse, too, at the end.
Which does
that
work.
That filters out any contaminants that you might have in the water.
That's what the spot-free thingies at the quarter car wash does, too. It just runs the water through a filter.
Right.
That makes it... tastes pretty good too.
That's why it comes out so slow too.
Right. But I still use an absorber just to get the last portions of
Dude,
it.
Dude, I've got like four absorbers.
I know, mine's looking kind of haggard.
And I've got a couple that are just trashed.
And then I whip out the old leaf blower.
Oh.
Because all the little nooks and crannies that water just sits. I remember this. You get it perfectly dry, and then you drive it, and there's water spots everywhere because it came out of
the mirrors and all that. It never fails. You'll be, you know, the car will look spotless, you know, with no water, everything, and you go to polish the car, and then all of a sudden this little drip will come out like behind the mirror or behind
a taillight,
an emblem, or something like that.
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere. So I use the leaf blower for like 10 or 15 minutes just walking around the car, hitting. I don't bother with the flat surfaces. I get all the underneath the door and the wheel well. And like you said, the emblems.
That quarter car wash that you have by your place, too, has got that hurricane thing that's just like a leaf blower to dry your car off. And that works pretty good, too.
My leaf blower, I just picked up a cheap leaf blower. I think it was on sale for $35 at Sears. And it does wonders, man. Loud as hell. Neighbors probably hate me, but...
Probably like, what the hell
is
he doing?
If they think that's loud, man, when I started my car this morning at 8:30.
Did you piss off the neighbor?
Oh,
neighbors.
He hasn't said anything about it yet, but you know what? I'll just say, okay, I'll tell you what. Shut your dog up.
And I won't rev my car at 7 in the morning.
So that's getting it clean. And it sounds like it's a lot of work, and we're not going to candy coat it. It is.
Yeah.
But it's
worth it. You will sweat.
Man, get a case of Red Bull, get your sunglasses out, throw on some good music, and just
it's normally
spend
a
day.
Well, we spent about 8 hours.
I think that we have before. Yeah. After you do it a few times, though, you kind of get better and better at it. And yeah. I could probably clean my car inside of an hour.
Right.
So that's just getting it clean. And that's just the basics, man.
Yeah.
Then there's polishing it.
Yep.
After claying it. You want to wash it, clay it, wash it, and then polish it.
But not every time.
No.
No, this is like when you're getting ready for a show or you're getting ready to put on a coat of polish. Whether you're using Zano or whether you're using Meguiar's or what else is out there.
There's
now.
A lot of good stuff out there. It used to be things were just gimmicks. Zymol. Well, little history lesson. Like, geez, 12 years ago, Chris, I went out and I'm like, that's it. I've had it. I'm going to do this head-to-head. What is the best of the best?
Yeah.
So I went out and bought some Zymol. That blue stuff you see in the back of Motor Trend.
Yeah.
And then I went out and bought some Meguiar's Gold Class.
Yeah.
Meguiar's Gold Class just came out. And at that time, Boyd Coddington was making some of his own car wax polish stuff. And it was, at the time, it was ridiculously priced at like $40 a bottle. But I was, 25 years old, and I'm thinking, Boyd
this
Coddington.
This has got to be the stuff.
This has got to be the whip. Look at the price. So I had, I think the Zymol was like $25, and the Meguiar's Gold Class was like maybe
12.
12. Yeah. It was even 8. And then Boyd freaking Coddington, man, $45 a bottle, give or take. And I did a head-to-head test on the side of my 96 Camaro SS, and Chris, do you remember what the winner was?
Yeah, absolutely. It was the Meguiar's Gold Class.
And that was, one man's visual, but I had you look at it. I'm like, does it or does it not look better?
Yeah.
And it was minuscule, but the price difference was not. So that was the winner. So that's kind of an interesting history lesson that the money, the price doesn't always indicate. And, after a while, Boyd stopped selling his stuff. Rest in peace, Boyd, by the way. Anyways, Zano was, I think, a very good compromise in price and quality. It's actually probably the best value in car polish just because it works well. We've used it for over a decade.
Yeah, easily.
Well over a decade.
Yeah.
So that's why we always stand by sales stuff, but we don't say, use what works for you.
Yeah.
My buddy Steve that does detailing, man, he does use the stuff I've never heard of. And it turns out, that's like where you have to put it on with a buffer, man. You can't put it on by hand or it won't
really
work. Yeah. And it's like, $100 for a little tiny little tub of it. But it's also wax. And Sal Zano has not much good to say about
Carnauba.
It's garbage, he says.
Might as well just use some baby oil and shine up your car.
That's what he's there. Yeah, Wesson. Get a tub of Wesson oil or Crisco and smear it on.
That'll shine, too.
Well, and that's what his argument is that...
You want the protection as well as the shine.
Right, right. It'll look good when it shines, but after the sun, it sits in the sun at a car show for a day, it'll sizzle off.
Right.
I mean, that's what wax does.
Because
it doesn't
got the anti-static properties.
and hey, you son of a bitch. Oh. Sal's awesome, man. He's such a good guy. Static is a big deal. I think it's pretty safe to say that only use microfiber now when it comes to applying anything. It's cheap enough now. It used to be $10 for a washcloth size thing.
Yeah, and you can go to Costco or Sam's Club or whatever and get a giant pack of those towels.
Yeah, those yellow.
Yeah, cheap.
Yeah, and I did a test on one of those. I used the crap out of it. I washed it. I made a post. We talked about this in a previous episode. I made a post about how to wash a microfiber towel. And so I washed it the way that they instructed me, and I got out an old CD or a DVD or something, and I tried to scratch the crap out of it, and I couldn't.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't, and you can really see an imperfection on a DVD.
Yeah.
It's like looking at a mirror, and it didn't scratch it. So I pulled the little label off, though, just so it doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's made in China and everything, and Sal would always tell us use only 100% cotton, made in USA towels, Canon or Fieldcrest, if you remember right. Go get them at Kohl's.
If those even exist anymore.
I mean, it was a big deal to pick the right thing. Otherwise, it would just scratch the crap out of your car.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore. Microfiber is kind of more forgiving on that. So only use microfiber if you can help it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's getting it clean. Maybe we should save the polishing and real intricate detailing
for another episode?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Maybe some of our listeners have some cleaning tips as well,
what they
do to their car. So, yeah, we definitely would love to hear that.
I got a tip that I'll start off with, though.
Okay.
What I do is I get a piece of microfiber towel even it doesn't have to be super clean. I mean, just in decent shape. Clean, but used is fine. And I fold it up and I lay it on the inner hoop or the inner rim of my wheels. Because when the water gets in there, it rolls down and it'll stay there unless you get it out. Mm. So that just sucks it up and it makes cleaning up a lot easier.
That's interesting.
Yeah, little tips like that I think a lot of people can use to make their job easier. I mean, because it's fun to spend a day. It's relaxing, you know, kill a day of a weekend taking care of your car. But at the same time, you don't want to overwork yourself and do work you don't need. So, you know, we'll give out the number in a little bit. We love people to call in the meantime and tell us their best tips.
Yeah.
Especially in when you call in, tell us what awards you've won, if any.
Yeah, there you go.
Doesn't matter how good or bad it is or how big or small a car show is. You know, we'd love to, you know, that's why you go to a car show, so you can at least get something to say, hey, you know, I did this good.
Very cool.
But we got to move on for now. This took a lot longer than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, good stuff, though.
Yeah, I hope so. And
I can't wait to get out and clean my damn car.
I did mine last week, so I don't have to. But you know what I was thinking about doing? My buddy Stevie does this phenomenal job. He did my car for SEMA. And remember, he did whatever he used and however he did it, we couldn't even get vinyl to stick to the car.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever it is, it's incredible. He does this as a service here in the Detroit area.
Okay.
And he's very good. He's working on Porsches and Mercedes and everything now. And his business is kind of just getting off the ground. He's one of my best friends I ever had. He's the son of my former employer, and I trust him with everything. And I think he's a guy that you can trust with your car. I was thinking... And you listeners, if you're in the area, I was thinking we almost should get together like a group day for him at his shop so he can maybe do a couple of cars. And then we can also just get a bunch of other people. We get all our car care crap together and do like one massive car wash, car detail thing.
I'm
for
up
a
for
day.
It. Absolutely.
If anybody's interested in the Metro Detroit area and taking part in a nice Saturday of just detailing your car and trying out different stuff and picking up tips from each other.
Just cleaning the crap out of it.
Yeah. I mean, we've got, you know, shop vacs and we've got the hose and, you know, it's kind of like almost like a, you know, like a barn raising back in the day. Yeah. It's a car festival cleaning orgy.
Shine Fest.
Shine Fest. There we go. There we go. I was thinking about this. We still got to put together a Sonic run, too.
I know.
We're going to overload ourselves like we always do.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Let's talk about this next week. Get your calls in, get your tips in, and get your questions in. We're happy to answer your questions, too, because we've got a little bit of experience in this.
Right.
So moving on. We got some kind of Camaro news, I think. Some suspension seems to be the big deal with the 2010 Camaro.
Yeah. And this week, one of our supporting advertisers, Fott, posted pictures of a lowered Camaro.
This is nuts.
And, yeah, the picture is, it's crazy how low this car is to the ground.
This is using their new coilover system, which you can adjust the height. How high is it? How high is the front? Was it the front air dam off the ground?
Well, it says the most undrivable aspect of this ride is that the front air dam is 2.25 inches from the ground, so you will run into some problems in that respect, but not in the suspension travel. Click on the picture to go to our entire gallery. Look at these pictures.
2.25 inches.
This thing looks like it's like resting on the ground.
It looks very, very good though. It is low. And I know the you know, this is Fott, PFADT, very, very cool people.
Yep.
Great sponsor to have on for our community. Coilover kits. I have Petters on mine, which are very, very similar. I don't know how low they could go. The Petters can go if this low. I'm not going to try it.
I bet you they can.
I'm sure they can, but I'm not going to try it.
On their car, it says, our car was dropped 3.375 inches of ride height up front and 3.125 inches in the rear total. Just this is insane.
I dropped my 2002 Camaro, I think 1.75 inches, and that was plenty low.
Yeah. They're saying that 2 inches is a great lowering value.
Yeah,
so.
And I think that's about where mine's at, too. Yeah. And that's plenty, because it still looks good, but it's still, you don't have to be too fearful. That's crazy. That's just crazy.
Yeah, I'm gonna
it looks
post
good.
I'm going to post a link to this in the show notes, to the pictures in this thread, so you can see exactly what this thing looks like.
And then speaking of lowering and Petters, if you don't want to do the whole coilover route, DMS, which is our one of our Petters representatives, is also sponsors the CamaroZ28.com community. If you don't want to do the whole coilover, they do have just 1-inch lowering springs. And 1 inch is really nice if you don't want to go too aggressive, but you want to kind of give it just a bit of a different stance. really affordable. I believe they're 90 some odd dollars. I don't know if that's each or a set. I'm going to say a pair. Okay. I may be wrong, though, but Petters makes quality stuff. Fott makes quality stuff, and we're glad to have them both on there and taking some real risks with that car. It's a good-looking car, man. Good-looking car. I like having a lowered car myself.
Yep.
I do, too. I love it. So, all right. What do we got? Any voicemails? Any emails? What do we got here?
Yeah, we have one voicemail this week.
You want to do that?
Yeah, let's kick off the voicemail.
All right.
Hey, guys. It's Mudbone calling. You sounded so lonely there this week without any voicemails, and you called me out, so I figured I had to call in. A couple of things to talk about. First off, you didn't mention Carlisle and Camaro Nationals there, which is going to be on this last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of June. I think that's like the 25th, 26th, 27th, something like that. I don't know. I don't have my calendar, but it corresponded with another show that you had mentioned in the podcast. I know Lesson's going to be there, and Mudbone Jr. and I are going to be going. I don't know if anybody else from the podcast or from the forum is going, but if you are, we definitely ought to try to hook up there. Maybe I'll start a thread about who's going to go. And I'd love for you guys to come, but, you know, I don't think you guys are planning on it, but love to see you there anyway. It'd be cool. The other thing is I got an idea about something to talk about on a regular basis on the podcast, and that is tips and tricks on using the forum. And I got something to start off. I know when I go on the site, I don't go on exactly every day, which probably my wife would probably argue with that. Yeah, you're on that thing all the time. But anyway, when I go on there, the first thing I do is click the new post link, and I start reading posts that way to catch up on what I've missed. And if I go away for 15 or 20 minutes, get tied up on something else and come back to it and click to the next page, all of the new post status has gone away, and all the forums just sort of get automatically marked as red, which I don't know why it does that, whether I'm doing something wrong or whether that's just the way the site is, but anyway, I'd like a tip on how to avoid that problem and maybe even some better advice on how to view the site on a regular basis and keep up with new threads. And, so I'm thinking maybe just start a regular little section on the podcast about, something about the website. Anyway, keep it up, guys. That ought to give you something to talk about anyway. And, maybe, Chris, you can talk this week instead of Jason. Your old buddy Mudbone signing off. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
Mudbone. And then I'm done talking about Mudbone. Go ahead, Chris. Got to take it from here.
Oh, God. So you want some forum tips, huh? You're not going to respond?
No.
Oh, he's just shaking his head.
No.
Let me talk. Read new posts. If I did that, I can't keep up with the message board as it is. So I have my particular threads that I go into or forums that I go into. But I haven't been able to keep up with the entire board since the second year after it was released, because it's gotten way too huge, and that's why we have so many moderators.
Mm-hmm.
Why the new message post thing isn't working for you, I don't know. What browser are you using? Are you using Firefox? Are you using IE? The cookie might time out after so many minutes. So if you're using Internet Explorer, try using Firefox or vice versa, and see if that changes something. If it does, it may have something to do with the cookie that's set in your web browser, and you might just need to clear your cookies. That's the only recommendation I can give you.
I subscribe to threads a lot.
Yeah.
And I subscribe to a few forums, too. It's pretty simple.
Ones
that under thread tools.
Yeah. Like the new members, I'm subscribed to the podcast forum.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So I immediately get an email to my email box. I have it set for immediate.
Yeah.
So and that's what people can do, too. You can subscribe to a particular forum if it doesn't get a lot of posts, or even if it does, but if you want your mailbox filled.
Well, you and I as administrators, we can do immediate, but users can get daily or weekly digests.
Okay.
So that's one way of doing it, because if you don't have time to check, but you just want to kind of skim through the new threads in a certain forum that you can subscribe to at the end of the day, then you could just kind of, okay, cool.
Yeah, go through there.
Kind of gives you a quick way to catch up and then, you know, subscribe to whatever you want to subscribe to. That's how I do it.
But hey, if you guys want a weekly forum tip, no problem. We can do that. We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, there's a few things we haven't done in a while.
We'll add that to the list.
You got it. Thanks, buddy. And if you have a question about the forum or...
Have a car show tip.
Yep, definitely get it in. It's pretty easy. All you got to do is pick up the phone or type an email, and here's how.
To stay informed and in touch with the CamaroZ28.com crew, go to the message boards at CamaroZ28.com. If you have a question for the podcast, call the CamaroZ28.com voicemail hotline. The number is 586-486-3182. That's 586-486-3182.
You know, we almost forgot. He did address something that...
Yes.
Yeah.
We talked about this last week. Actually, this was almost our whole episode last week, and that was car shows going around.
Yeah.
Not only here in Michigan, but around the country, and we encourage people to call in and let us know about other car shows. Of course, we forgot about this big one, and that was Carlisle.
I know we mentioned it before. I just don't remember how long ago.
The Camaro Nationals or the GM Nationals or whatever it's called.
The Gathering.
There. We didn't mention the Gathering either.
Yeah,
I know we have in previous episodes because we've been there before.
That's
the
one I'm talking about, yeah. Right.
The F-Body Gathering is going to be going on in Atlanta from May 28th through the 31st. If you haven't had a chance to make it there before, I highly recommend it. Great time, great people, good venue where the hotel is. It's got like a tiered system where all the cars
in the parking
are
lot,
in the parking lot there. Awesome time. FBodyGathering.com. I'll make sure I put that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, that's great. I really regret that we haven't been there in a couple, 3 years easy.
I know.
It's been probably 5 years now that I think about it.
We've never driven there. We've always flown there.
I know.
And then
not
got
anymore.
A rental car.
No way.
Oh, man. That'll be a long drive, too.
Yeah, but...
Detroit to Atlanta.
I'd probably just stay there.
Would you?
I'd just never come back.
Yeah. Screw it. Who wants to come back to Michigan?
You know, Michigan does have its finer points that people don't realize unless they've lived here for
it does,
too long.
And roads aren't one of them.
Did you hear this on the radio? Complete tangent here. Okay. There, you know, gas prices are supposed to be going down.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, well, the idea was, and at first I thought that it was, this is on the Rift, Drew and Mike, Drew was talking about this,
okay.
If anybody knows the radio station, saying that they should raise gas taxes as the prices go down because... If they can raise $82 million in gasoline taxes, they will receive $500 million in federal funds to fix our piece of shite roads. So basically, you're spending $82 million to get $500 million from the government. Yeah. Now, I know that there's downsides to this, and I know everybody has to pay for it, and I know all that. However, if you have never been to Michigan, you don't understand how bad these roads are. We need some freaking help here, especially it's the Motor City State.
Well, I don't know, they must have gotten some money somewhere because everywhere I drive nowadays is the road is under construction.
Yeah, well,
15 mile, 14 mile.
Oh yeah,
Utica, 94.
Oh yeah,
all road. Everything's under construction. You can't go anywhere without running into construction.
I don't mind paying my taxes as long as I see something being done with it, and it's about damn time. So I thought it was. I'm like, you're crazy. Raise the gas prices? Hell no. Well, wait a minute. No, I mean there's a benefit to it, and it'll just keep them staying the same instead of just going down. It won't make them go up. So, I don't want to get into a political argument with anybody about this. I just thought it was an interesting theory that, in a different point of view that I never saw before. So, that's it. It's a little tangent. What's next? Yeah.
There's really nothing next.
You got a new car.
Oh.
That's kind of important.
Yeah, I took delivery of my Equinox LTZ this week, and I love it. Except the day I took delivery, well, this whole week. It was freaking raining every day, and it was raining hard. They actually had to pull my car into the service bay so I could take delivery of it. But
wow. Oh, it was that day?
Yeah, it was that day. It's like that granite black exterior.
Yeah.
Every option of the car except a sunroof. I upgraded to the 18-inch wheels, and I'm loving it.
Is this a 2010 or 2011?
It's a 2010.
2010.
Yep.
My wife has a 2007, 8 Equinox.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close.
Yeah, well, this is the second generation.
Oh, just to this, the difference.
The Equinox.
the difference is significant, though. I mean, GM has really stepped up, man.
The interior is
that's
is
what I'm talking
top
about.
Class. I mean, it is beautiful.
It's Cadillac quality.
It is.
Maybe it's one step away, but not more than one.
No, the way they redesigned the interior dashboard.
Yeah,
very reminiscent of the Camaro. The
and
front spot.
Got the same. The driver information center.
The driver information center is exactly the same.
But the entertainment stack was very reminiscent of Cadillac to me.
Yes. Yeah, that's completely different. And it's using the switchblade key as well.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep. So,
it's nice.
Congratulations on the new vehicle.
Thanks.
I have to get one myself next in this July.
Yeah.
I guess I cannot negotiate my lease, so I have to let my Trailblazer SS go.
Did you try swap a lease?
No. I mean, that's not going to do me any good. I want to keep it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and
maybe
I can't.
Maybe you could swap it for something else.
Yeah. Nobody's
swap a lease is, you know, you can go on there and find someone who else his lease is expiring in 6 months and be able to drive a super cool car for 6 months. And
yeah, maybe. I don't know.
It's kind of a neat service.
Yeah. I just want to keep my Trailblazer, but I can't because the buyout is it's not near what it's worth.
Yeah.
The buyout is just ridiculous.
Maybe you could return it and then buy it.
I was told I could renegotiate the contract. I have to do that, but it'd have to go into my wife's name.
Oh.
And then she'd hold that over my head.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
Well, she likes to be evil. That's my wife. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary, man.
Congratulations.
Thanks. And we had, Chris, you were there. We had our 10-year anniversary gathering for our friends and family, and I rode a sport bike for the very first time.
Mm.
1,000cc Yamaha. Our friend Steve from CamaroV6.com was over. And didn't kill myself. Didn't dump the bike. Only stalled it a couple of times because I knew better.
How long has it been since you've ridden a bike?
Since I was like 14.
Wow. And so that's like 30 years.
That was, thanks, a-hole. No, like 25. No, I don't even know. I'm so old I can't do math. How's that?
There you go.
And it was just like a little 80cc dirt bike, a little hobby bike. Now, this was a freaking monster of a bike. And I got to tell you, you know, I rode around the block just, you know, getting used to it, making sure that I wasn't over my head immediately. When I felt comfortable, I went out onto the road and did 110.
Wow.
But semi by accident, it comes up so fast on that. I'm like, oh, shoot,
ding,
man.
Ding, ding.
Turned around in a familiar parking lot, killed the engine, made sure I was calm, knew what I was doing, fired it back up, drove home. It was nice.
Wow.
I may consider getting one one day.
Unbelievable.
Not that big of a bike, though. I don't need anything like that, but... I know that this is probably going to trigger a bunch of phone calls with all the bike guys going, dude, get it, man. You're going to love it.
Get this one.
Sorry, honey. You can have your tattoo that you've been wanting. I'm getting a bike. Compromise here. You're going to get something that'll last you forever. I'm going to get something that'll kill me real quick.
Okay.
I'm smart enough to know my limitations.
There you go.
What kind of time are we looking at here?
Oh, we're way over here.
Are we?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, all right.
We got to wrap this up.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening once again. Get your tips in, your car show and shine tips, and it doesn't have to be Camaro because this is kind of universal.
Absolutely.
You know? And anything else you want to talk about, by all means, we're here to talk back. So we'll see you next week. Enjoy the weather. It's supposed to be decent.
Yeah. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline. 586-486-3182 or send your comments by email webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.